This is Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my first guests today are Aaron Walker-Tolis, Executive Director for Catholic Community Service. Welcome, Aaron.
Thanks so much.
And Susan Losby, Safe Child Advocacy Center Administrator. Hi, Susan.
Hi there.
Well, thank you both for being here today. April is Child Abuse Awareness and Prevention Month, so today you're here to talk about how to prevent abuse, how to identify children who are experiencing abuse, and getting help. So this is a pretty serious and important topic. Where should we begin?
I guess maybe I'll start. I'd like to basically, just so people know where we're at, as a state and honestly as a nation, we have seen with COVID, of course, kids are home, families are isolating, and nationally, we've seen a huge drop in reports of harm. The children just aren't getting out of the home to see those safe adults that they know, teachers, neighbors, coaches. And with that came a huge drop in reports of harm, suspicion of child abuse. And of course, at the Safe Child Advocacy Center, we saw a big drop in referrals from Office of Children's Services and also from local law enforcement. But what we do know is that with the stress of the pandemic, there has been a dramatic increase in both domestic violence and child abuse. So we're in a situation right now where there has been an increase in child abuse and a decrease in identifying those kids who need help and need us to intervene to help keep them safe. You know, so before we move on, Susan, would you like to talk about what the Safe Child Advocacy Center does to help kids and families?
Sure. So we are a child focused facility put in place to really, for the goal of providing a safe place for kids to talk. We provide a multidisciplinary team response to allegations of abuse. So that means we work with local law enforcement, with Office of Children's Services, with advocates, with the schools, really to have everybody come together and talk with the child one time, hopefully only, and everyone's there who needs to be there, and we're able to work with that family and child individually to get their needs met. And I wanted to mention that we have a great team that we work with here in Juneau, and want to give a big shout out to them for doing the day-to-day work that they do, and for taking the time to make referrals to us and allowing us to be the experts in what we do. And that is in providing child forensic interviews, in providing forensic medical exams and advocacy, and making referrals to the necessary treatments that might be needed down the line.
Well, thank you both for giving us that background information and being here to talk to us about this today, and telling us a little bit about the Safe Child Advocacy Center and what you do. As we talk about signs and symptoms, how is abuse typically identified? Who is usually the first one to see the signs? What are some of the things that get noticed? And then what are some of the questions that person might ask themselves before they take any more steps? I know the pandemic has curtailed a lot of contact with children, but maybe you could kind of help us understand what we might be looking for. Susan, you're on mute.
Thanks. Sorry. So part of what I really wanted to make sure that we talk about this month, and recognizing that April is Child Abuse Awareness and Prevention Month, is really I want to encourage everyone, because it takes us all really to be the one who could stand up and make a difference in a child's life by just being aware, by looking for signs and symptoms, for listening to kids if they feel safe to come to you, and then making that all important step to report it. And looking for unexplained injuries, changes in behavior, changes in sleeping, eating habits, potentially inappropriate sexual behavior and risk-taking behaviors as well. And if a child is feeling safe enough to come to you, really try to remain calm, allow the child to talk, show concern, reassure them, support them, and most importantly, believe the child. And then don't interview them. Tell them, let them know, you know what, I have a number that I can call, and we're going to get you to a safe place where you can go and talk to someone who's going to be able to help you. And then make that report. There's OCS has a hotline, 1-800-478-4444, or you can do it online at reportchildabuse@alaska.gov, and take that action, take that step and report it, and then let the professionals and the investigators go from there.
It seems, I'm sort of playing devil's advocate here, but it seems as if there would be quite a bit of self-doubt involved if you're observing a child, but you're the type of person who is maybe outside of the family, or maybe the person who notices the signs is also a child themselves. And it's all a very delicate matter. But what would you say to people who have no evidence, only suspicions, and aren't sure if they should report something or not?
I would say, and actually the law says, if you suspect, if you have a reasonable suspicion, you do not have to know for a fact that it has been occurring. You just have to suspect it, and you can make a report. You can make an anonymous report if you want to. It is the jobs of the professionals and the investigators to then go ahead and investigate. But it is always better to be safe than sorry. And, you know, with the process at the CAC that children and families can come to, it is a very child-friendly and focused response to child abuse allegations. And we do our very best not to re-traumatize a child there. And so if you do suspect, my first thought is please, please report, because you might be the only person out there that could make that difference in that child's life.
Erin Walker-Tolis, what would you add to that?
I think that, you know, you might not know for sure, but the bottom line is if no one speaks up, that child is not going to get help. And better to report and make sure that somebody touches base and assesses whether that kid's okay or not, than to have the suspicion, keep it to yourself. And that child, if you're the only person, if everyone just sort of sits back and says, well, I hope they're okay. I think something's off, but I hope they're okay. That child is not going to get help. And the longer that abuse goes on, the harder it is for that child to recover, to thrive. And getting them assessed and then hopefully assessed by us at the Safe Child Advocacy Center, I mean, it's the first step to engage in the healing process. It's the first step to show that child that they're believed and that they can be safe, and engage in that healing for not just for them, but the whole family. And even a lot of what the Safe Advocacy Center does is also, we support prosecution of perpetrators as well. I mean, we're collecting information that goes to court, and our staff, Susan, goes to court and testifies to what the findings have been. And you know, it's not just about that single child. It's also about ensuring that other children aren't victimized by that perpetrator as well. So we really just encourage people to talk to the kids in their life, take the time to notice how they're doing, leave that open space for the conversation, and just take notice. And, you know, we've got an Instagram Safe Child Advocacy Center. We've got Facebook as well. We encourage you to come to us, and we have resources to help you know what those signs and symptoms are so that you can be more confident in making a report of harm if you need to.
Susan and Erin as well, this can't be an easy job even in the best of times, and we've just been through a pretty hard year and some change. What is it, besides some of the things we've already talked about, what else could the general public do to make your job a little easier?
Yeah.
think hard question. I
That's
know.
A tough question, I have to say. Really, what the community can do for kids and for themselves really is, you know, parents need to help themselves. They need to take time for themselves to, you know, recoup. They've been stressed to the max this past year and taken on a lot of extra responsibilities with homeschooling due to COVID and working virtually at home as well. So self-care, I think, is important for parents. I also think that getting children involved, I know it's harder with COVID, but just going outside, doing things as a family, finding support systems, not only for the adults, the parents, but for the children as well. Get involved in activities, stay active. I think it's especially now during these times, it's really important to have support networks, hobbies, to keep everybody healthy, mentally, physically, and just involved.
That's a great response. Thank you, Susan. And thank you, Erin, as well. Is there anything else that either of you would like to share with our listeners before we say goodbye today? Any events, activities, or resources or campaigns around Child Abuse Awareness and Prevention Month this April?
Yes, I was going to let everybody know, Erin mentioned, please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You could search for Safe Child Advocacy Center for both of those. There's going to be tips and tricks and helpful information on there. We're also going to be hosting an informational booth set up outside of the IGA downtown with information and goodie bags for kids and parents. That's going to be on Friday, April 16th from 10 to 4. And then also look for Alaska Children's Trust coffee sleeves at your local Grind, Copa, and Ock Bay Cafe. They will have contact information on them for Alaska Children's Trust, which is also a great place, a great resource for parents to go to. And then we're also hanging banners and posters and other informational brochures around town. The Jack was gracious enough to hang those things on bulletin boards in many of the grocery stores and malls here. And feel free to give us a shout out at the Safe Child Advocacy Center, 463-6157. If you ever have concerns about a child, just want information or ways to help us.
Wow, you guys are really taking on a lot this month. It sounds like it's going to be a great campaign with a lot of excellent visibility. Susan and Erin, thanks so much. Erin, anything to add before we say goodbye?
All I'd like to say is just thanks so much to Susan and her team at the Safe Child Advocacy Center. Thanks to the multidisciplinary team members across Southeast Alaska that contribute to helping kids be safe, get justice, and heal. And thanks to the community for stepping up, because we are seeing an increase in reports of harm as kids go to school more. So just keep an eye out for anything you can do to help the kids around you.
Thank you both so much for being here today and sharing all of that important information.
Thank you.
Thanks. Have a great day.
You as well.